ever started learning a new programming language and thought, hey, this isn't so bad. It's kind of like previous language, only to get totally slammed by some weird error.
Happens all the time,
Right.
especially when programmers are moving between languages,
Yeah.
especially C and Java.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to take a deep dive into this whole thing
Yeah.
called false friends.
False friends.
Just using the research that you've done.
It's really interesting stuff because the challenge isn't just like learning a new syntax.
Right.
It's that our brains try to use what they already know to learn new things.
Makes sense.
And sometimes that can lead us right into a bug.
Yeah, that makes sense. Our brains are efficient. They're trying to like find those connections to
Exactly.
make things faster.
Leverage what, you know.
So tell me about this study. What were they trying to figure out?
So this study looked at how computer science students who already knew C
Okay.
performed on a Java test.
Okay.
And some of them got a Java tutorial beforehand, and some didn't.
That's
And by comparing the results, they could get a sense of how much that existing C knowledge helped, or in some cases,
Yeah.
hurt their ability to learn Java.
So it's like their C knowledge was transferring over.
Exactly.
Like,
Transferring.
oh, okay.
And they found there were three main types of transfer.
Okay.
So sometimes your C knowledge is actually really helpful.
Okay.
They call that positive transfer.
Positive transfer. Nice.
Other times, it leads you to make mistakes because the code looks the same.
Oh,
But it means something totally different in Java.
no. That's got to be frustrating.
Negative transfer.
Negative transfer. Got it.
And then there are cases where the concepts are just so different, you just have to learn it fresh, no transfer at all.
Start from scratch.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with the good news. What did positive transfer look like in the study?
Well, one example is basic loops like for loops.
Yeah.
The syntax is very similar between C and Java.
Okay.
So the students who understood how to use them in C generally had no problem applying that to Java. So it's like they got a head start because their previous experience gave them a solid foundation.
Yeah, that's good. I like that all that time I spent learning C, phew,
Exactly.
paid off. Okay, but you mentioned that sometimes our C knowledge, it can actually trip us up.
Yeah.
What does that look like in practice?
So that's where the false friends come in.
False friends,
It
okay.
happens when C tricks you because the code looks the same, but it acts totally different in Java.
Okay.
A perfect example is the double equals operator. So
Wait, what's wrong with I use that in C all the
use
time.
it to compare things.
Yeah, to compare things.
And in C, you can use it to compare all sorts of things. But in Java, it gets a lot more nuanced when you're dealing with objects.
Okay.
And one of the questions on the Java test asked students to compare two objects using the obercot. And a lot of them got it wrong
Interesting.
because they were applying their C knowledge to a Java context.
So even though the syntax is the same, the meaning is different.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
What's the difference there? How does C handle that differently than Java?
Okay, so let's say you have two variables in Java,
Okay.
each referencing an object with the same information.
Gotcha.
In C, using eq would tell you they're equal because you're comparing the content.
Right.
But in Java, checks if the two variables are referencing the exact same object in memory,
Oh.
not just two objects that happen to have the same information.
So even if they have the same info, if they're not literally the same object, it's going to say they're different.
Exactly. It's like if you have two identical apples,
Oh,
they're still two separate apples.
okay.
C would say they're the same because they look and taste the same,
Right.
but Java would say they're different because they occupy different physical spaces.
That's a great analogy.
Two different apples.
Different apples. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It seems like understanding those little tiny differences
Yeah.
are super important when you're switching between the languages.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's where paying attention to concepts
Right.
and not just like the surface level syntax
Yeah.
becomes super important. It's
Okay.
not just about the words, it's about what they mean
Gotcha.
under the hood.
Okay. What about those concepts that are just like completely different between the two languages?
Okay, yeah.
What did the researcher say was no transfer at all?
So one really clear example is the difference between Java's classes and C's structs.
Okay.
They're both ways of organizing data, but they work quite differently in each language.
Gotcha.
And students who tried to apply their understanding of structs from C directly to Java ran into trouble
Yeah.
because they weren't grasping those nuances of how classes function in object-oriented programming.
So it's not just like looking out for those false friends. It's knowing when like, oh, this is just a completely different thing.
Right. Totally different concept.
Got it.
You got to learn it from scratch.
Okay. So even with the positive and negative transfer, the study found some Java concepts that were just really tough for students to grasp, even with a background in C.
Right. What were some of those biggest troublemakers?
Well, one that stood out is something called type compatibility.
Type compatibility.
It seems like a simple idea. You declare a variable as an integer, and then you try to assign it a number with a decimal point.
I'm guessing that doesn't work well in Java.
It does not end well in Java.
Okay.
Java is very specific about the types of data that you're working with.
Gotcha.
You can't just mix and match freely like you can sometimes do in C.
Right.
And this tripped up a lot of students because they were used to C being more flexible with those conversions.
So their experience in C with that flexibility actually made it harder to learn Java's stricter rules.
Exactly. It highlights how our mental models, the way we think about a concept.
Right.
Based on our previous experience, can sometimes clash with the rules of a new language.
Okay, that makes sense. Are there any other concepts that the researchers highlighted that were particularly tricky for students?
Absolutely. Another one is variable scope.
Variable scope, okay. Yeah, it's all about where variables live and breathe within your code.
Gotcha.
And specifically, the study focused on how students dealt with variables declared inside loops.
Okay, so if I declare a variable inside a loop, what's the difference between C and Java?
So in C, you can sometimes access that variable outside of the loop as well.
Okay.
But Java has stricter rules about where variables can be accessed.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you declare a variable inside a loop, it only exists within that loop.
Gotcha.
And students who are used to C's more forgiving approach ran into problems when they tried to access those variables outside the loop in their Java code.
So it's another example of C's flexibility, kind of making assumptions that don't work in Java.
Yep, and it's a common source of errors, especially for beginners who are still building their understanding of how different languages manage that variable scope.
Oh, right. They're still learning the rules of the road. So it seems like a key takeaway here is that even though C and Java share some of those like syntactic similarities, there are these really subtle but crucial differences in how they actually work.
Oh, sure.
And those differences can really trip you up.
Absolutely.
If you're not super careful.
Yeah, and the study also found that even a basic Java tutorial didn't completely eliminate these challenges.
Really?
Yeah. So while the tutorial helped with some concepts like string concatenation and understanding classes, other things like type compatibility and scoping remained major hurdles for those students.
Interesting. So even with that little bit of extra help, those were still tough.
Yeah, it's like some of those mental leaps from C to Java are just inherently harder to make, even with guidance.
That's fascinating. Why do you think that is? Is it like the way our brains categorize and connect information?
That's a great question. And there's definitely a cognitive element at play here.
Yeah.
Researchers believe that when we learn a new programming language, we kind of build these mental models of how that language works. And these mental models are shaped by our prior experiences with other languages.
So if we've spent a ton of time in C, we might just like have these assumptions that's flexible or lenient in some areas.
For sure.
And then we get to Java and it's like, nope, that's not how we do things here.
Yeah. And those mismatched mental models can lead to those false friends moments where we're making assumptions based on our C experience, only to find out that Java has a totally different way of doing things.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes me think about those mental models like almost like a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
They're helpful because you can learn things fast.
Right.
But they also can lead to these like blind spots and misconceptions.
Yeah.
If you're not aware of them.
That's a great way to put it. And it highlights the importance of approaching these new languages with a balance of confidence and humility.
Don't be afraid to learn something new, but also don't assume that you know it already.
Exactly.
So even experienced programmers, if they're switching to Java from C, they could still fall into these false friends traps.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd argue that experienced programmers might be even more susceptible to these traps in some cases.
Really? I would think their experience would help them.
It seems counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes our deeply ingrained habits and assumptions, the things that have become second nature to us.
Yeah.
Those can become our biggest stumbling blocks when learning another language.
Interesting.
It's like trying to learn a new dance style when you've been doing ballet your whole life. You know, those ingrained movements, those assumptions about how your body should move.
Right.
They can actually make it harder to adapt to the new style.
So how do we avoid falling into these traps, especially if we've been in C for a long time?
Yeah.
Is it just being super careful and like double checking everything?
Well, being mindful and deliberate is certainly important.
Okay.
But there are also some specific strategies we can use to mitigate these risks. And one key is to actively look for differences between languages, not just similarities.
So instead of assuming they're going to be the same, kind of approach it with like, is this the same?
Exactly. Don't just assume, investigate.
Okay.
Test your assumptions. And most importantly, focus on understanding the underlying concepts of the language.
Okay.
Not just memorizing the syntax.
So going beyond that surface level, really trying to understand why it works the way it works.
Exactly. When you grasp the underlying principles of how a language works,
mm-hmm.
you're less likely to be misled by those false friends that look familiar but behave differently.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But that takes time and effort.
It does.
Any tips on how to make that process more effective?
Well, one strategy is to use a technique called contrastive learning.
Contrastive learning. What's that?
It's a way of learning by comparing and contrasting concepts.
Okay.
So in this case, instead of just focusing on what's new in Java, you'd actively compare and contrast those concepts with their counterparts in C.
Okay.
By highlighting both the similarities and the differences.
Mm.
You force your brain to pay attention to the nuances and create these more robust mental models.
So it's like building a mental Venn diagram.
Exactly.
One circle's C, one circle's Java. And then that overlapping section is like, ooh, watch out.
That's where the false friends live.
Right, those tricky bits.
And the more you practice this kind of contrastive analysis,
yeah,
the better you'll become at spotting those potential pitfalls and avoiding those gotcha moments.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, this whole discussion about false friends is making me wonder if this is something that goes beyond programming.
Yeah.
I feel like I've run into similar things when I'm learning a new language.
Absolutely. It's a universal challenge.
Really?
Yeah. Our brains are wired to make connections to find patterns.
Right.
But sometimes those patterns can be misleading.
Yeah.
Think about words that sound similar in different languages.
Okay.
But have different meanings. Classic false friends.
Yeah, like in linguistics.
In linguistics, exactly.
Like the time I tried to order, I was with an Italian friend and I was like, oh, I'll get the panna, thinking it meant bread.
Oh.
Because I was thinking of the French word pain.
Right.
And panna means cream.
No.
I ended up with a cup of whipped cream.
Just a big cup of cream.
My friend was very confused.
Yeah. A perfect example of how false friends can strike anywhere.
Yeah, it can happen anywhere, but it's those moments, even though they're kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
They're the ones you learn from, right?
Absolutely. They stick with you.
Yeah.
And they help you learn.
So as you're going into Java, you're switching from C to Java, just remember those false friends are out there.
They're lurking.
They're out there. They're part of the process.
It's a journey.
And by understanding how they work, we can turn those pitfalls into opportunities.
Exactly. Opportunities for deeper understanding.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a really insightful deep dive.
It's been fun.
I feel like I have a much better grasp of those false friends and how to like watch out for them and what to do about them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for you listening, if you've encountered your own false friends in programming, we want to hear about them.
Let us know.
Until next time, happy coding.